Angels. Angels are near us. Angels bring many images in our minds. They are protectors and guardians. We can feel their heavenly presence when we open and invite them into our lives. Linda Torres serves as an instrument to deliver the peace, love, and inspiration that the angels and archangels desire for each one of us. Linda reminds us that these celestial beings are here to love, light, and divinely guide us through our journey. Tune in to the angels' messages and learn more on Angels Are Near Us with Linda Torres every other Monday at 8 p.m. on Station 1 here at bbsradio.com. Rest assured that your angels are guiding you every minute of the way. Angels are near us.
Hello, everyone. This is Linda Torres, your host on Angels Are Near Us here on bbsradio.com, number one live internet radio. Thank you for tuning in tonight again. You know that my sincere intention is always to bring you the loving messages and information about all the angels and the archangels and all celestial beings. So now let us invite the angels and archangels and all beings of light to be with us. Please bring in your guidance, dear angels, and assurance for the highest good of all. Please surround us with divine light and let only divine truth and wisdom come through. Thank you, God and angels. Amen. So, tonight I have an important message that I want to give you. Archangel Michael came in very strongly, as always. But also I have Archangel Raphael. So, let me talk a little bit about Archangel Michael and his messages. Oh, I do want to announce we do have our invited guest. She'll be on in a few minutes. Her name is Meredith Smith. She's a dream intuitive, and she's the author of Dreamworkers, Behind the Veil, Night Shift Dreams. This is a very interesting book. Meredith will share this book with us, and she'll discuss the topics on dreams. But before that, so I'm going to go ahead and give the message of Archangel Michael while we're waiting for Meredith. So, what Michael was telling me, because of all the events, and I've been asking the angels how to help us, and the messages that they send is always, you know, I'm guided to share these insights from the angels of light. And so what he says, what Michael has said, that we can only move to the final opening to the light until we heal the difficult issues that are arising for us now at the present moment. So many of us are attuned to Mother Earth and understand that the plan is to continue to transmute and transform all that is causing harm and, you know, imbalance on the planet. For some of us, this creates fear. For others, well, there's a knowledge of comfort. For all of us, it requires clearing and healing of our history that is echoing through the current events. Now, we need to understand that we can do this with the help of the angels, and we can continue to be part of what helps the earth to heal. So that's our purpose right now. That's what we're doing. And Michael expresses, we are here to help you, and you are not alone. Archangel Michael says that the angels have communicated with many of us frequently in the most recent time on Earth plane and have offered this message repeatedly. But because of the constant distractions that many are experiencing, however, this message has not always been heard and accepted. But we remind again that the beings of light in every portion of creation have drawn ever closer to us. And so we are traveling on this new road to awakening, and we are held to help you, one and all. So Michael again is saying, don't be confused by the ego mind. Know that the divine light of infinite source of God is infinite, and there's only one agenda. And the agenda is that to nurture us and to help us to create our new time, our new world. There's nothing to fear. You know, the human soul is awakening, and the human soul is able to accept love and nurturing light unconditionally. And then all fear vanishes. I know it sounds easy. Sometimes it's challenging, but it is easy. You know that every moment, the light of the angels are with us. They help us. And therefore, what they're saying is that, you know, the earth is healing herself. It's doing, helping us, you know, be more conscious and helping us realize the truth. So, you know, being surrounded by the love of the angels, I've always said being in prayer and meditation, give freely of your light, give freely of your heart, love all you observe with a compassionate heart. You know, we're all of us are in this together. We're not separated. So have compassion for everybody else, including yourself, and all fears will dissolve. And as we release our fears and confusion, we finally awaken to that true nature of reality. We are one. You are one. We are one with the angels and with God. Remember also to always call on your guardian angels. They're with us, you know. They're here to help us. So, I believe that Archangel Raphael was also trying to give me a message this morning. And maybe at the end I want to do a little meditation with Archangel Raphael. And just to remind everybody that Raphael's healing energy is a green emerald light. And it's always so strong. You know, you could feel his presence when he tries to heal you. And you feel evidence of this. The other thing is that Archangel Raphael always wants to wrap his wings around us and give us, you know, strong reassurance that we are loved and that we are safe and that we are being taken care of. So I am going to also give out the lines because we will open the lines in a little while. Probably after the break. And so those numbers, and let me remind you, they're on the screen of the main page of PBS Radio. That is 1-888-627-6008, 530-413-4522, and 530-413-50111. Okay, so I think our guest is here, and that is Meredith Smith, Dream Intuitive. Hi, Meredith.
Hi, Linda. How are you this evening?
Thank you. Pretty good. Well, thank you for being on Angels Are Near Us.
I apologize for any delay. Skype's become an issue for me.
Don't worry. We're really happy because I know that you accommodated your time because you were on other shows today, weren't you?
Yes, I was. And then trying to, I don't know why I have such a difficult time with Skype. It's so simple, right?
It is so simple. You know that Seth is always helping me out. So that's how I've learned a lot too. Seth, our manager, he's great on BBS. So let me ask you, let's go right into the book because I did announce your book, you know, it's Dreamworkers Behind the Veil, Night Shift Dreams. Yeah. And I know that you are a great dreamer and, you know, I was so fascinated. I started reading part of the book. I didn't have time to tell our listeners that I got it this weekend, but definitely what I have read is very fascinating. So I do highly recommend reading Meredith's book. Again, it's Dreamworkers Behind the Veil, Night Shift Dreams. And I'll give out your website just if anybody wants to know more about you. It's ispeakindreams.com. That's ispeakindreams.com. And it's Meredith Smith. So, Meredith, well, tell us about this book, how you started it. You know, how did you feel compelled? I know with all your night dreams, you must have been very excited doing this book.
Yes. You know, this is a book that has been cultivating over so many years because I started to have these type of dreams in which I it is my other reality, but it's everybody's reality, in which we wake up in our dreams and we astral travel, we encounter other souls, we encounter our angels, our spirit guides, and so forth. Mm-hmm. And for so many years growing up, I didn't know what was going on. And I had these fascinating dreams, and I had these horrible nightmares, and they were all centered around mm-hmm. dreams are real. Mm-hmm. They're really happening. And so a few years ago, my mentor, who is now, you know, a friend of mine, she encouraged me to share my dreams. And I didn't want it to just be a memoir of my dreams. I wanted to find other dreamers mm-hmm. that dreamt the same type of dreams as me. And so I put out a call into the universe and on my website and so forth. And I asked other dreamers to share their visitation dreams and a certain type of dreams in which you wake up really exhausted, or you find yourself helping another soul either by doing healing work or helping them cross over into the afterlife. And I received many dreams, and their dreams and my research and my dreams created this book. And a lot of people now that have been reading my book the past couple of months or have been hearing about my book are now sending me even more dreams. And so I'm learning even more about night shift dreams.
You know, I noticed that besides talking about your experiences with the night dreams, you also share dreams of other people and, you know, how they relate to you. It's fascinating because a lot of people have these dreams and probably don't even know this. So just so our listeners know, Meredith, what do you mean when you say night shift dreams and the night shift dream worker?
Night shift dreams are, for the most part, when a dreamer finds himself in familiar or unfamiliar places, helping, guiding, healing souls who have deceased from their physical life, because they're still mm-hmm. alive, because they're mm-hmm. no longer present in their physical form. And they're helping them, they're in service to them in some way to help them in their transition. However, there's also dream workers who are helping living souls, whether they are aware of who they are or not. It could be someone they know, it could be someone they don't know, and they're helping them in some form of healing. The healing work that they're doing in these dreams for people who are living, the living are bringing them back into waking. So if they have some type of issue or some pain on their physical body or so forth, or seeking some answers to some of their questions, they're finding other dream workers. They're finding these dream workers that are helping them. And so they wake up and they have these amazing realizations, or they feel better, and their issues of or their pains are beginning to heal. Most of my work have been over the years with people who are crossing over, who are in transition, and it's been the past couple of years in which I am starting to work more with the living and the deceased.
That's fascinating. So. Going back, you're saying your research, you have found other people who are dreamers. And do you think this is for, I know that everybody has our own purpose, but is there a certain purpose for each one have a different purpose? Is it the same purpose? You're saying you're working now with people who are passing over, right?
Right. So other dream workers, I think that we, I feel like we all have our own individual soul's journey or own our soul's purpose, but this is a large group of us that one of our I wouldn't say lesson, but one of our jobs in life is to be in service to earthbound spirits or those who are newly deceased and maybe adjusting to their soul self and trying to find the light or trying to figure out, okay, now what happens. And so they're in the transition. They're on the boundary line between leaving their physical body and moving on into the afterlife or other dimensional realms so they can go and do as souls what they need to do. There are souls that are lost or are having a hard time accepting their physical death. And so they become stagnant or they create their own type of hell. I don't believe that there's actually a hell. I believe that that's a manifestation for, you know, each of us. Our hell is our own personal thoughts or low vibrations that we create for ourselves, and these particular things are caught up in that feeling. And so dream workers like myself will go and tend to them, feed them, help raise their vibrations, and show them the way for them to continue on so they don't become stagnant or they don't become caught up as earthbound spirits.
Oh, yes, I understand. I understand what you're saying. I had only one dream of that experience many years ago. And it felt that I didn't understand why I was there, like you're saying. I didn't understand why I was there. I didn't understand how I was meeting this person who was a person who was known. I don't want to say the name, but it was a person who was passing over. And it was that same, I found this fascinating. That's why I understand what you're saying, because that same night, I knew that person had passed away. And so immediately, a few hours, he was asking me several questions and explaining where he was going and why he did what he did. And I'm like, wait a minute, why am I here? So it's fascinating to see. But I was very calm. But at the same time, I always have somebody with me in my dreams, be it my angels. Mostly I always have Archangel Michael with me. And so Archangel Michael is giving me, I feel he's giving me the script even to say, you know, this is what you have to tell him to go to the light, and this is what he has to do. So it was one of the first dreams that I had with someone who had passed over. But you're saying it's very interesting. And there's more people that I've heard that are having these dreams and are encountering spirit as we encounter, you know, our past loved ones. I'm amazed also because I had communication with my mother when she passed away and with my dad. And all these dreams are very vivid, aren't they? It's like you feel you're there.
Yes. Well, you are there.
You are there, exactly.
But very intense and vivid. You know, it's hard for us to, you know, sometimes wrap our mind around it. We really were there, you know. It feels like we were, but we were. And I think it takes a while for people to readjust to that. Our physical life is just, you know, such a small such a small moment in time, and it's our soul is, you know, has these huge and long lives and has so much work to do, and so yes, we are there.
Absolutely. See, it seems like we're there, but we are there. It's fascinating because when I wake up, I'm still in that daze. I'm a little bit, you know, foggy until I get up and I start moving around. So that's why I say, was I there? Because it feels I'm still there, but am I here? It's like in that waking stage. But that's when I am so convinced that, you know, I was there and that I saw my beloved, you know, mom and dad and other people that I have met on the way. It's incredible how many people you meet on the way. Do you feel, Meredith, that when you encounter these beings, do they give you messages for loved ones? Do you feel compelled to go look for the person to give these messages?
Sometimes. So I always feel compelled to bring the messages, but I also feel very uncomfortable, especially if it's somebody I don't know. You know, many people don't receive that well, especially if their beliefs are different. A couple of years, was it last summer, I had this premonition, I had this dream in which three people that I knew fairly well, or I used to know very well once in my life, were dying. And it was a really, really tragic dream, and I was there, and I couldn't identify who they were, but I kept saying in my dream, I could see their eyes, and I kept saying, I know you, I know you. Mm-hmm. And they were very frightened, and I was trying. I feel like a lot of times when we dream these type of dreams where we're encountering someone that's passing or has passed or gives us a message, a lot of times we're there more for the people that are passing or have passed than we are to bring the message back to the living. We're there to help tend to or feel the way that these passing souls are feeling, to help relieve the heavier energies. And so within this dream, it was really frightening for me. It was frightening for the people. I was picking up on their energies and, you know, their emotions. And I woke up and I had so much anxiety, and it was these three people and they were drowning. But it didn't make sense because they were underneath, they're drowning underneath a sidewalk and there was a concrete building next to it. And I was like, how is that possible? How do you drown underneath a sidewalk? You know, but I was like, I know them and I can't identify them. And I was up all night and I love to sleep. So it's very rare. If I have a dream that wakes me up and keeps me up, then there's, you know, there's a big impact for me. And so I was up all night. Well, I found out that same day that three people I knew had drowned in a boating accident. One of them actually was lost, but they found him and he ended up surviving and two of them didn't. So a year later, I had this dream in which one of them appeared for me and asked me to help him reach his mother, that he was having a really hard time. There are a couple people, the person that didn't pass was having a hard time letting go of the feelings of sorrow, of being the one to survive. And he was telling me that his mom just was in such a state of grief that she could not see clearly. She was having a hard time functioning. So I happened to have a really close friend that was still connected in this town. I still talked to. I didn't talk to anyone else from this place where I lived. And I called her up and I said, listen, you know, I have this dream. Is there any, you know, is there any way you can pass on this message? And she had said, she was like, no, I don't think that his mom would receive it. And so the thing was, is that she never told me what happened after the passing, what happened, you know, with the town, you know, was grieving. And then after that, we didn't hear anything about it again. So when I told her this information from my dream, she was surprised. She's like, how did you know that? You know, it's a very small town. She knew a lot more than she ever told me. And so she had said she didn't feel the mom was very religious and she believes that he was completely dead. He lived in a state of blackness. Yeah. And there was no soul, there was no spirit. And I felt really bad because she wasn't going to receive the message. I didn't feel comfortable passing on that message. So I ended up going back into my dream. You know, a week later, I went back to visit to have a conversation and help this particular spirit to detach, cut the cords and to help him cross over. He really struggled with it because he was worried about his mom. And he ended up saying to me, I hear what you're saying, but I need a little more time here to make sure that she understands that I'm still alive in spirit. And so, and then after that, I didn't reconnect with them again. But telling that, sharing that dream is more for the understanding of it. I don't feel like it was my job or my position to pass on the message, but more to help the deceased. More to relieve whatever sorrow or feelings or information that he was having. And I feel like that happens a lot to me in my dreams. I have passed on some messages and I usually only do if I know that they're going to be received well, and I'm not going to spark any type of tragic event, you know, because a lot of people, you give a message and it can impact them in such a tragic way, a mental, you know, their mental well-being. And I never want to do that. That's not the intention of the deceased, and it's not the intention of myself.
Exactly, exactly. Before we take a break, I just want you to tell us, you said you had an experience, we were talking the other day, with Archangel Metatron?
Oh, yes.
Tell us about that.
So I've always known that angels are with me. I have never I call on them, but I've never really understood who they were or why they were there. I've dreamt about them. I know I have a guardian angel. I've interacted, but I've never really dived into archangels or angels. And a year ago, a really close friend of mine who is an angel practitioner, she had said, you know, they're telling me you really need to work with them more. And I was just like, I don't know. And my hesitance was I grew up in a very strict Catholic family. Mm-hmm. And so I think I still had prejudice of what angels meant, and, you know, what prophets meant. And, you know, I was taught a different way and I was really confused. And so, knowing the only archangel that I've ever been aware of is Michael. Mm-hmm. I never have known really any of the other names. I did not know Metatron's name at all. And what happened was is I went to sleep one night, and it was funny because it was my healer friend that brought this up a week later. Mm-hmm. She didn't tell me anything. And I went to sleep one night, and Metatron came into my dream, and he had said, I have been with you. Don't you see the color purple? And I was like, I see the color purple all the time, flashing all around me for years. And I just thought it was part of my, you know, energy, and, you know, it was helping me lift my vibration. And he's like, yes, but that is me. That is my color that I vibrate at. And absolutely. I was like, what? Who is Metatron? Like, I've never heard that name before. I was just like, I'm going crazy here, you know? And I'm scratching my head. So I woke up. I had never heard that name before, or at least I don't ever recall hearing that name. And I did some research, and I picked some books out of the library, and I found out that Archangel Metatron actually exists. And I wasn't even sure if I was saying his name right, so I had to call up my friend. What's going on? Is this true? And she was laughing, just like you are. Yes, it is. You finally connected, and he's always been with you. And so ever since then, when I do Reiki on clients or my family or myself, mm-hmm. My dream time, I know he's right there. He's always right there. And now I interact and I hear his voice. He's like, that was my voice all those times. That was my voice. And I was like, oh, this is so cool. So I get excited about those things, especially when I have no clue beforehand, and then I'm awakened to, like, I always knew you were there. I always saw the color purple. You know, there's so many times when that was low, or I interacted with someone and I get a flash of purple here, you know, like, always intervened or helped me or guided me through for so many years. And I finally woke up to who he was and why. Well,
I really love that you mentioned that, because angels are here to guide us. And, you know, sometimes we're not aware, but they're there. They're there. It's, you know, when I was younger, I was always attracted to the color blue. And, you know, my mom would buy me something in green or pink, or, no, I want the blue. I want the blue. I remember. And she would say, oh, Linda, your favorite color is always blue. But then I learned that Archangel Michael is surrounded with the blue flame and the blue ray, when I learned more about him, because I loved all the angels when I was growing up. But, I was so fascinated with Michael. And once also, a good friend of mine, my mentor, Janie Feldman, she told me Archangel Michael had been with me since eons ago. And he was with me, you know, the day I was born, and he was going to be, you know, guiding me the whole time. So I understood all these blue colors, because I was fascinated. I didn't understand why I was so fascinated with the blue, which I always am. But also, I see these flashes light of blue and white, and it's incredible how they just want to, you know, show up and tell us that they're around us. So thank you for mentioning that, because it's important that everybody knows that we can allow our angels to be close to us.
Yes.
So we're going to take a break right now, and I'm going to give out numbers in case our callers want to ask questions. You know, if anyone has questions on dreams, or experience any particular dream, Meredith is going to be happy to answer your questions. I can give you an angel message. So those numbers again is 1-888-627-6008 or 530-413-5011. And we will be back in about 90 seconds. Thank you.
in a funky old car. Spend most of the night in the roadside bar. I can stretch out on a backseat if I get too tired. Even half awake, I'm a ride on track.
Hi, everyone. This is Linda Torres, and you are listening to Angels Are Near Us here at bbsradio.com. And our guest tonight is Meredith Smith. She's a dream intuitive. You can call in for your questions on dreams, and Meredith will answer. Her website, if you want more information on what work she does or how you can reach her, is www.ispeakindreams.com. So, Meredith, going back to our conversation, do you want to explain how would someone know that they're doing this night shift? So like the night shift work at night, of course, in dreams, because people, you know, I would like them to know the difference, or if they are having these dreams.
Well, night shift dreams focus a lot around visitations and afterlife communication. One way to identify if you experience a night shift dream is you wake up really exhausted. Your body aches. You could even have a headache. Mm-hmm. A lot of times you wake up and you think, well, did I just sleep? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wasn't I just sleep? Wasn't I my eyes just closed for the past 8 hours? Within the dream, there's an awareness. There's a knowing. Even if you question it, there's still an inner knowing that, huh, this is a little different. This wasn't one of my regular dreams, or this wasn't a dream about myself. Night shift dreams are very vivid. Like I said, afterlife communication, you are speaking to both familiar or unfamiliar souls. Mm-hmm. There is a sense of a pull. So you find yourself kind of not really being whipped, but traveling, floating through the atmosphere, or, you know, to other locations that you may have never been before. And you almost wonder in your dreams, why am I coming here? And then all of a sudden, a person or a group of people will appear. And you are being called. People are in need of you. You're doing something. You may find yourself being a doctor, a nurse, an EMT, a healer, a teacher, a professor. You are doing some type of service for somebody else within your dream. And you find yourself guiding others. And you may even encounter, while you're helping these other beings, whether you other souls, whether you know them or not, you may end up encountering other unearthly beings, angels or spirit guides that are there to help you help the people, the souls that are in transition.
Exactly. So, helping others. I understand that. I understand that part. You know what? We have a caller, Meredith. Great. So, Sarah, hello.
Hi.
Hi, Sarah from Hawaii. Aloha. How are you? Aloha.
Fine. I'm so glad that you're taking my call. Uh-huh. I had some dreams lately, and I had one that just seems to really be sticking. And I just wanted to see what you thought about it.
Okay, great.
Okay. And, well, what it was is that I was going to be taking a trip, and but first I had to go to a funeral. And I don't know who the funeral was for, but my response was, well, that was an interesting cultural experience. And they said, okay, then now you can get on the airplane, and you're going to be flying on John Legato Airlines. Oh. I have no idea who that is. I don't know where that name came from, but it when I woke up, it was still there. So, and I have on occasion in the past gotten names very specifically in my dreams, and I, you know, Google them, and it does. They don't go anywhere. It doesn't come up, and it isn't anybody I know.
Well, one thing is that you'd be surprised how many people you can't find on the internet. the names are, you're tapping into most likely someone that has passed or is passing, and you're being called to be in service for them, help them in some way. A lot of times with names or verbal messages or even written messages, our mind interferes upon waking and messes up the wording or messes up the names. They, you know, it gets all jumbled. And so our mind reads it one way, but our soul in the dream understood it another way. And so translating dreams can be very confusing. You know, it's a whole other language. One way, if you wanted to find out if this person existed, one way is to change the last name around a few, you know, change the letters around. Another thing to remember is that if you, it sounds like you know that you were there, you know that this person, that the John person was someone that exists or did exist. And it's almost like a knowing, to feel, embrace the fact that you were there, you did something. You may not have returned back into waking with every piece of the dream. So you brought back everything that maybe you needed to remember, you were allowed to remember, you were just able to remember, and that happens a lot. And so, were you exhausted when you woke up? Did you have any type of knowing or a sense of you helping somebody?
No, I wasn't tired. I was just kind of, whoa, that's interesting, kind of experience when I woke up. And that was the name of the airlines. It said you're going to be going on those airlines. And that was that person's name.
Right.
I had gone to a funeral, and I don't know who it was, but I said, gee, that was a interesting cultural experience, and I have no idea what it was.
Go on.
Can I jump in, Meredith?
Uh-huh.
I'm just going to jump in because I'm at the same time, Sarah, I'm looking at the angel cards. And so what jumped out, I'll give you this message also, is that it feels that, again, this person passed away. And it feels like a young person. It feels that you were attending this funeral, the angels are saying, because in some way you are going to do some kind of energy healing work. There's a lot of addictions, or maybe addictions, it feels, around the person. And so it seems that you can start doing some kind of healing work, and that is your purpose of knowing that you are helping this person through helping others. So the angels, I feel, and they're saying, is that they're guiding you to look more into this healing work. I don't know if you do some kind of healing with others.
Actually, I do. Yeah.
So it seems that they want you to expand more and mostly, you know, look at these innocent younger generation, because, you know, the younger generations are the ones who need more healing work right now. And so the angels that came out strongly for you is Archangel Raphael. At the beginning, I was talking about Raphael, how he wants us to heal and to heal others. And this is the perfect time to do that. So that's what I had for you. Yeah, he talks about healing. You have several angels with you. Michael is with you, ascended masters. And so you are becoming sort of this healing teacher as well.
Huh. And will I do that through my business that I now have, or will this be something totally different?
No, absolutely. I feel it's expansion. They're saying it's expansion on what you do already. You know, you can always choose what you like to do in life, and right now is the time that, because everything is opening, you know, the universe is opening so much energy at this time. You can start doing whatever your creative imagination wants to, And but it's really upon energy healing work. So that's what I got from the person who passed on. And that in that way, maybe you can help more. And Meredith, do you think she can maybe, she'll probably maybe dream of this again, or she can go back and ask again?
Yes, she can go back and ask again. And most likely you will be dreaming these type of dreams again. So you'll be bringing your healing work that you do in waking, and you'll be doing it in dream time sometimes. And I think that that's what the cultural, what a new cultural experience is. It's a new way of the healing work that you already do, and you'll be expanding and evolving it.
Doing it in the dream time.
Yes, and doing it in the dream time.
Wow. Okay, yes, and I often have dreams about waiting in a bus station or a train station or an airport. And so this, you know, getting on that airlines was, you know, kind of an extension of that. So it must be I'm traveling.
Right. Well, you know, a lot of times when you're waiting at a bus stop or a train station, within dreams, if you're waiting at a bus stop or train station or at an airport, you're in transition. You're in the waiting zone. And so getting on the plane, getting on John's plane, I can't remember what you said his last name. I wrote it down.
Longato.
It was Longato. Yeah. Now you're on you're beginning your journey, because when you're in dream time, when you're in a car, on a train, on an airplane, it means you are in the process. You're on your journey. You're going in the direction to your destination.
This is pretty
amazing.
Pretty interesting, Sarah. And Sarah, you said you weren't, were you afraid when you woke up? No.
No.
No, they say that just, you could be calm. You could just be calm about it, and you will, like Meredith saying, I'm sure you're getting more dreams, and you're just opening up to that, your intuition, and be open. You know, once you're open again, you let the angels in, you and your spirit guides, and there's nothing to fear. You just have to focus on your service and what you're already doing. It would be wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm a psychotherapist, actually, but I do energy work and a lot of spiritual work.
That's fascinating. Wonderful, Sarah. I think that's your message right there.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for calling in tonight.
And I just happened to turn it on and see that you were online, and so this was all very synchronistic, and thank you again.
Absolutely. Thank you, Sarah. God bless you.
Aloha.
Aloha. I love that. Wonderful.
I know.
How spirit manifests.
Uh-huh.
Incredible. So we don't have a call right now. So let me ask you something else, Meredith. So we were talking about, you were talking about the different types of dreams, or how people can awaken if you are doing the night work, right?
Oh, right. So I had listed some attributes of understanding or identifying night shift dreams.
I was going to tell you, I usually do, when I have these also vivid dreams, I do wake up tired. I'm usually happy. I'm not ever sad, thank God. And I feel that because I understand now that the angels are trying to send me messages. I always understand that. So I'm really happy, but I am tired. I'm exhausted. And I'm always saying, why am I so tired? Give me back my energy. And it seems like exactly like everything, the night went so fast that you've been busy, you know, doing all this travel, which we do, the travel astral.
Yeah. And our soul, when it comes back into our body, it has to readjust. You know, it has to refit itself. And, I like to call it a jumpsuit, it's our soul's clothing or our physical body. Mm-hmm. And it has to readjust. And, our third dimension in which we as humans live on, it's a lower frequency. And so when our soul is astral traveling and going to the fourth dimension or higher dimensions, it raises its frequency and its vibration. And so even with angels, and from my understanding with angels, spirit guides, souls from other unearthly beings from other dimensions, mm-hmm. when they come to speak to us or they come to our third dimension, they have to lower their frequency. And that takes a lot of work. That takes a lot of energy to do. And so I feel like when a lot of times when we wake back up in the morning, and we do feel tired. It's not only all the work that we're doing, but it's also our soul readjusting and lowering itself to be able to cope and go on with its day. You know, now we have our waking life job, our waking life purpose that it's here.
Absolutely. For. Absolutely. Absolutely. We're physical beings. So we have, you know, the physical body that is not what, the same as a light being. And you're right, you know, they're on a higher dimension. And I've always told everyone, you know, even to connect with angels or spirit, you have to be on a higher frequency. And that's why it's great, you know, to be in meditation, to pray, to elevate your frequency with anything that gives you joy, you know, that makes you happy.
Right.
So the other question I had for you, oh, about dreams. You know how everyone says, well, you have a dream and then let's look it up in the dictionary, see what the significance is. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that dream dictionaries are a great foundation, a great start, especially people who are just trying to understand dreams. Mm-hmm. They are not the end all. They a lot of times dream dictionaries are symbolic to the research of that particular person who wrote it. So the amount of dreamers that they receive, they find patterns and so forth, or it's the author's own dreams and what they have unraveled for themselves. So they are very general meanings. They do not resonate with everybody, and they mm-hmm. they are not the answer, the interpretation for every single image or symbolic or any every color. They're a great start, mm-hmm. but the best. Mm-hmm. I always tell dreamers that if they feel like they need some type of foundation, you know, find a dream dictionary that resonates with them, but don't take it as the all-knowing. Take what resonates with you on a dream dictionary or a symbol within a dream dictionary, and then listen to your inner self. Write it out. Do a meditation. Go back to sleep. We have to do the work for ourselves to be able to find the answers. Isn't that with everything? To do a good job, you have to work really hard to mm-hmm. find the answers to the questions that we're seeking. We need to ask the right questions. We need to do the work to be able to find those answers. That is what I believe in dream dictionaries. I'll never forget my first dream dictionary. It was given to me by my grandmother. 10,000 dreams interpreted, and I'll never forget the one. There was just one that stands out to me, and it was about a pig. And and I can't remember exactly what the wording was, but it was something so detailed, like if you dream of a pig and it trips down the road, it means, you know. And it had like the most, what I thought of the most absurd answer, like how many people dream of a pig that trips down the road? You know, like obviously right away at such a young age, I was like, this dream, this meaning, this symbolic meaning was obviously directed completely towards the author who wrote that book.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, that was my very first awakening into, oh, wait a second. I may know more about dreams than, you know, maybe I don't need to look towards dream dictionaries. I mean, it's good for me. Wanting to study dreams, it was, you know, a great start. And, you know, it's good for me to have a well-rounded knowledge of how people interpret dreams. But mm-hmm. upon waking, 99% of the time, the very first moments of waking, the dreamer mm-hmm. has the answers. The dreamer knows what their dream meant. It's when you begin to really wake up and your mind begins to doubt. Like, oh, yeah, I think I really did, you know, such and such. Oh, I know the answer to my dream. And then all of a sudden you get your mind jumps in. Oh, no, that's crazy. You didn't really dream that. That's not what it means. You know, and that's when we begin to make dreams more complex. And at the moment we doubt our intuition, then we lose the meaning of our dream.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. You know, it's I. I wish everybody would listen more to their dreams, and maybe they do or they will after this show. But because, like you're saying, you can encounter so many beings that give you guidance and assistance, not only angels, but spirit guides, masters, people who have passed on that you, masters, teachers that can, you know, give us different lessons. And that really helps us in our life. Like you're saying, before you wake up in that waking mode where you're sleeping and awake, you do know. Definitely you do know. Because I have, you know, I have experienced it. I knew, you know, I was there. I knew what the message was. So it's the more you want, you allow and you open up to it, I think more and more people can experience these kind of night dreams, which are, you know, teaching us something, their yeah. lessons.
Yes, I agree.
So we're almost at the end. Just, I had one more thing I just wanted to ask you. You know that we are living in this new shift and transition that everybody talks about, which is just this new shift and new era. What message would you give out to others right now?
That we as a society, as human consciousness, we are connecting more than ever before. And to wake up to your inner self, listen to that inner voice, because it is speaking the truth for you and it is guiding you. And I think that I'm finding out more from even 5 years ago that more people are waking up in their daily life, waking up within their dreams and realizing that they are empowered and they do have second sight, and that empowerment and that second sight is so important for us as a human race to raise our vibration and to evolve as a whole, and to move on and to do the work that we need to do in a very peaceful, loving, positive manner.
Love it. Thank you so much. That is a reality, really. I want to thank you for being on the show, Meredith. It was a pleasure. I love everything about your book. Again, it's Meredith Smith. And do you want to give out your website where people can contact you?
Yes. ispeakindreams.com. And I have a blog and a lot of resources about dreams and visitations and afterlife communication and healing on my website and blog.
Okay. Well, thank you again.
Thanks for having me on.
Before closing, let's just, I want to ask Archangel Raphael. Please, Archangel Raphael, send us your green emerald light to all of us. Wrap your arms and your wings around us and give us strong reassurance that we are loved, we are safe. Help us trust our inner feelings and that we take action accordingly. Please guide us, give us ideas, wisdom in what next steps we should take to always heal our hearts and our mind and our bodies. Thank you. Amen. So until next time, thank you, everyone. May God bless you and the angels protect you. Good night.